Year. How about it, church? I cannot think of a better way to start our year than by declaring together who we are as a church. And if you hadn't been with us in a few weeks, then you know you might need to pay attention here. Your part is going to be underlined. My part is not underlined. So let's start the year by telling each other who we are. We are Gospel NL. Central. Forever. Focus. Multi-ethnic. Nice. Now, if you weren't here, you're like, what happened to that? We changed it up a little bit. So we got with some of our Spanish-speaking friends to say the best way to say what we're trying to say, and that's what was told to me, that we are a gospel-centered. Gospel is in the center of who we are. So that's who we are. And what a year, church. What do you mean, what a year? Am I talking about 24 or 25? Yes. What a year it was. What a year it's about to be. And thank you for some of you. Being early, we challenge you to be early, not all year, just today. And I was tempted to look over my shoulder, but I didn't. But it felt like the room was a little fuller, a little earlier. So thank you if you got here earlier than normal. Maybe you liked it. Maybe you'll do it again. I want to challenge you to another new thing that we want the church to grow in. So we have so many new people. And if you're here for the first time on the first Sunday, we're so glad you're here. Some of the questions sometimes that come to me is, how do you meet people at Relentless? How do you get to know people? So we've got several ways and more than we have in the past, more coming. But one of the best ways is through our huddles. So the second Monday night of every month is the men's huddle. The third Monday night of the month is the women's huddle. Well, just this once, we're combining huddles because we don't want to do a huddle on Dr. King's birthday on the third Monday. So next, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, is men and women together for the first and only time in the history of Relentless. You don't have to have a date. You don't have to be married. It's not a prom. It's just a beautiful combined men and women's huddle, and it's going to set the course for our year in huddles. So we want to invite you to that a week from tomorrow night, 6:30 in here. That's a great way to meet people. We got small groups coming up that we haven't done in homes for 5 years, church, since before the pandemic. So that's coming this year. It's a great way to meet people. Serve. When you serve in guest services or kids ministry or in the parking lot, you get to meet some other people. All those are great ways. But here's a new way. I want you to use our fabulous lobby. We've got two. I know churches that don't have any. We've got two. We've got one out here, and then we got this cafe out here. Just beautiful opportunities. So at the end of our service, we try to create an environment. Maybe you today are going to make a decision for Jesus that you're not planning on making right now, and God's going to speak to you, not because of my great message, but because of our great God. So at the end of our service, almost every week, we give just space to come, and we have these decision cards up here, and we just let God move. Sometimes you need to come forward and have somebody pray over you and with you, so we leave space for that. Sometimes you just need to sit in your chair and process some things with God, so we leave space for that. So I get my time. Let me remind you, my time goes to 10:15. Some of you start looking at me funny at 10 o'clock. We aim for a 65 to 70 minute service. That's the target. But I get margin to 10:15. That's our drop dead. That's when I got to be done. So don't look at me funny at 10:03. Now, some people are like, well, can't just go. We just love it. Just keep going. Don't worry about the time. You know who says that? People that have never worked in kids ministry, right? So they are timed up, and we're going to respect what they do back there. So at the end of the service, I want you to stick around and do what you need to do with God. Some people take communion at the end of the service. All that's great. But if that's not you, we want to invite you to one of our many lobbies and maybe talk to somebody you've never met or maybe catch up with somebody. That's what that time and space is for. Now, if you got a beeline out of here because you got somewhere to be, no judgment. If you got to go, go. But if not, use that time and space. Now, for you guys, if you're sticking around to serve, great. But if you're just coming to the 9 and going home, then at some point you got to go, because we need that parking space for the 11 o'clock crowd. You with me? So let's just try using our lobby to maybe have the conversations that we want to have, and that's going to be a new way that we get to know each other. I want to give you our word of the year. We have a word of the year. You saw that if you watched our online video. Our word of the year is progress. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Isn't that a fun word? Right? Progress is so fun. Like, sometimes it gets a bad rap if you're old enough to remember progress reports. I don't think they call them that anymore, but I hated those, the U's and the N's. But forget all that. Progress is a beautiful word. Some of you that teach, some of you that coach, you know how much fun it is to see progress happen. There's just nothing like seeing an athlete who used to respond to this situation in this way, and now they respond in this way, and just to see that change. Progress is so much fun. I've been told that gyms and fitness centers are full this week. I don't know that for a fact. That's just a rumor I've heard. I don't have eyewitness account to that. But I've been told it's a time of year in the new year where everybody's doing their thing, and I am a jogger. You understand? I'm not a runner. There's a difference between running and jogging. I used to be a runner. I'm a jogger, right? And people say, do you love running? No, I don't think anybody loves running, at least not the first 20 times, right? I don't love running, but I love progress. And they made that nasty little Nike app. They made that for me. Like, it gets me because it shows me numbers. I can see if I'm run further, faster, and it's all like just data points and numbers and progress, and I can see where I was a year ago, 3 years ago, and I just love making progress. So here's my plan for the year. Here's what I'm going to do. You can hold me to this, right, according to my Nike app. I'm going to run more miles in January than I did in December. I'm going to run more miles in February than I do in January, more in March, all the way till January 2026. For 12 straight months, I'm going to run more miles this month than I did the previous month. That's the goal. Now, some of your nose, you're like, well, how many did you run in December? I'll tell you. Nunya 0.4 miles, all right? That's going to destroy our progress if I get into what you think and compare. It's not about how many you run or how many you think. I'm just going to make progress every month. That's the goal. If I'm smart, I'll start real slow so I can, you know, kind of cheat the game, the system. But when you make progress academically, athletically, relationally, financially, some of you paying off debts, like, we love progress, but we don't always apply that to spiritual progress. I want us to get excited in this month. We're going to be talking about progress to set the course for the year. I want you to get excited about the progress that God's excited about making in your specific faith walk. Now, as we talk about progress, please don't mess it up by starting to think, oh, I'm so glad so-and-so's hearing this, maybe the person beside you, because they really need to make some progress. Listen, hear this for you, and let God deal with others in your life or on your role. The difference in if I'm trying to make physical, like, condition, getting in shape progress, that's kind of on me, right? I'm the lead actor in that play. It's kind of up to me. And that's where this beginning of the year where we motivated and the gyms are full. That's great. But spiritually, you're not the lead actor. You're a supporting actor, right? You're partnering with the key to this progress, which is Jesus. He is the key to our progress. I want to start there in a letter written to a church, a multi-ethnic church in the city of Philippi. We call the book in the Bible Philippians. And Paul just says this straight out, simple, beautiful statement. He says in verse 21 of chapter 1, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What's important in progress? We get so focused sometimes on the physical this time of year. I don't know if that's in other countries or if that's just America, but it's crazy how full the gyms are. Which it makes sense if they were full all through the year, but at January and then it dips down. But it's just like we're so focused on these things that don't matter as much. And Paul said, I know what life is. Life is Jesus. Everything else is details. Now, he wasn't suicidal. He wasn't to live is Christ, but I really want to die. What he's talking about is he had a longing. He is so invested in what we always talk about, this relationship with Jesus, that he just couldn't wait any longer. He wanted to see him face to face and be with him in the way we're going to be with him in the next life. And he was to live as Christ, but to die would be such a win. And he's struggling here. We'll continue. Verse 22. If I'm to go on living in the body, that's good because it'll mean fruitful labor for me. But what do I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. Do I want to live or do I want to go be with Jesus? I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you, church, that I remain in the body. So he's giving us a hint of the decision he's making. I want to stick around, but I want to go, but I need to stick around, but I want to go, but I need to. Verse 25 is our verse today. Convinced of this, I know that I'm going to stay. I'm going to remain. And I will continue with all of you for what? For your progress and joy in the faith. I'm going to stick around for two things, Paul said. To live is Christ. To die will be gain. But I'm going to live. Living is Jesus. And I'm going to stick around. My role in Jesus is that we would see progress. We would see progress and joy in what? In our faith, in our spiritual lives. And it is not an accident that he uses those two words. He connects progress and joy in the faith. Some of us, honestly, we struggle with joy. We hear about joy, we sing about joy, but we don't always experience joy in our daily lives. Perhaps that's because of lack of progress. What's the opposite of progress? It's either going backwards or it's being stagnant and stale, right? There's not a lot of joy in stale faith, right? It's just joy comes from seeing progress. Like I love progress. Let me tell you a quick story in my stroke recovery. I had all these pills, praise God, of how little pills I'm on. I'm on two prescriptions as of today. Aspirin, that's not a prescription, right? I'm on one blood pressure medicine, and everything else is vitamins and aspirin. That's it. But in the beginning of my recovery, there was I don't know how many. So I'd have to sort all my pills every day, and it took forever, and I was a little slow. So I did this thing. I wanted to get all my pills sorted while my oatmeal was warming up, right? So I'd put the time in the oatmeal. And who's like me? You never put even round numbers on the microwave, right? Right? You never put a minute 30. I always go minute 27, minute 32. You never put round numbers. Everybody knows that. So I was going to get, everybody knows that, right? You don't do 2 minutes on the dot. So I was going to get all my pills sorted. And the first few weeks, like, I wasn't even close to done. And the timer went off, right? Big deal. Well, it was a big deal the day that I finished sorting my pills and looked and, like, still 10 seconds. Like, I'm getting better, right? It's joy in making progress. I'm not talking about oatmeal and time. I'm talking about your spiritual life, your faith. I used to react this way. I used to not really believe this. I didn't know this. And now I'm seeing progress in how I live. Joy in the progress, joy and faith, progress are all connected. When we're making progress, it brings us joy to see God doing what he does in our life. So we're going to see that this year. But to do that, to progress, you can't have progress without progressing, which is a whole grammar lesson that I'll wait for later in the series. But to progress, you got to do some things you haven't done, right? If we keep doing what we did, if we didn't like the results of our life spiritually in 24, well, what we can't do is repeat the same patterns, right? To go places we've never been, we got to do things we've never done. We know that. And we did this a couple years, 2 years in a row. We're anti-resolution, so I'm not going to get into all that. If you want to have a resolution, great. You can be part of the 91% of people who don't succeed on their resolution, right? But you're different, right? They don't work. I just want to make progress. Every year, I basically have the same list. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband, be a better pastor. I want to read more books, write more letters, eat less French fries. It's the same list every year. I have not eaten Chick-fil-A French fries this entire year, right? Now, I was working on this all a couple weeks ago because I want to be ready. So when I wrote that, it said, I have not eaten French fries this entire year, but I can't lie to my church. See, we had this away basketball game in Greensboro Thursday night, and it was late, and we had to go to Wendy's. And who's going to go to Wendy's and not eat French fries, right? Not me. All right, so it's just about progress. Here's what I know. My number one priority today is to spend quality time with God. Perhaps you've seen that before if you've been around. Now, it's tempting to think, well, that's a great statement for the leaders of Relentless Church. No, that's not for pastors. That's for people that follow Jesus. I've known and believed this statement for a decade. I haven't lived this statement but for 4 or 5 years. I started to actually believe there's nothing more important today than my time with God. All the progress that I want, and I just love how God does this. We're going to stop being surprised about God's ability to work among us. Tiffany, I didn't know what she was going to share this morning until she got up here and shared it, asking the question of the person that God wants us to become, who he created us to be, right? The best path to that is to spend time with the one who created you. That's the way that we become who he created us to be. So I love that she set that up for where God was taking us. He's good at that. He's alive. He's active. He knows what you're bringing in the room. Your chair was prayed for. You were prayed for. The person sitting in your very chair was prayed for this morning. He's an individual, active, living, knowing what's up, God. And the best way to step into what he has for you this year, right? Leader, brand new Christian. Maybe you don't even know who God is, right? We would love to talk to you about how to spend. We're going to spend a lot of time, more time than we've ever spent as a church in 2025, because we realize that's a great statement, but if you don't know how to spend time, quality time with God, then we're really not helping you. So we're going to spend a lot of time on helping you get better at that, or maybe begin that, depending on where you are. And what's going to happen out of that? Progress. Now, the hard part about Jesus' progress compared to like physical progress. Sometimes people come up to you, oh, have you lost weight? Right? It's a dangerous question to ask people, but and people can see it. The progress we're talking about and praying for, sometimes nobody knows. The people that live with you probably are going to know the progress that Jesus is making, but sometimes only you and Jesus know about that progress. And his applause for you has got to be enough to motivate you through this year. So I want to talk about how to make Jesus progress. All right, let me give you some things that'll hopefully start your year off right. For us, it's going to start with the most important one on this list, which is dependence. That goes back to this, the reason we spend time with God is because we need him for our day. I know you don't mean to, and I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm saying this to me. When I start tomorrow, Monday, January 6th, without spending quality time with God, what I'm communicating is I can do this without you. I got this on my own. That's what I don't want to communicate. That's not what I believe. So I've got to live that. So we want to constantly run to dependence. You've heard this verse. It's a beautiful verse, but it's a hard verse. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's the dependence, right? It's easier to get an amen on trust the Lord with all your heart. Woo! Amen. To do that means you don't lean on what you think. That's not natural. You need a community of people. We're not wired to naturally, we're wired to think my opinion is the most important opinion in the room, and what do I trust? My gut, my heart, all that garbage that we hear. No, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and the way to do that is to not lean and depend on what you think. Instead, in all your ways, why has it got to say all? Couldn't it say most of your ways? Wouldn't that be a better verse? In most of your ways, acknowledge, surrender, submit to him. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That's why I love our graphic. If we can show our picture for this that you're going to see for the next 4 weeks, it's a straight path, right? Which, again, just matching up with that verse. Don't you want straight paths? Some of you have walked some crooked paths. That's a lot of stress and drama and hard to crooked paths. Sometimes we create the crooked. Sometimes other people create the crooked for us. But it is possible to have straight paths, straight, clean, clear. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. The path to that is depending on God, not yourself. All right, back to our list of how to make progress. One is dependence. That's the most important. Two, make it day by day. The reason that we know so many resolutions fail is because 365 days is a long time, and you psych yourself out, and you think, I'm going to do that this year, and you're not, right? So instead of making it a yearly deal, let's make it an hour, a minute, or day by day. What would spiritual progress look like for you today, or Monday, or this week, right? You want to shrink it down and make small victories instead of like overwhelming yourself with a 300, like how silly is that? 365-day goal, right? I'm going to do this every day this year, and it's January 5th, all right? Just give yourself grace. Take it day by day. And three, let's celebrate real wins, capital real, all right? So let me tell you another story that I've never told. It's not even a little bit embarrassing, maybe. So after my stroke, they're worried. They kept testing like 1,000 times. They come into my hospital room and make me squeeze their hands. They want to test the strength because my stroke was on the right side. So they're worried about deficits on the left side. And I knew, and still today when I type, this finger is just a little bit behind my right hand. Can you handle your pastor who's a little slower on his left hand? So early on, they wanted to know like how bad things were. So they brought me this test. Everything was good. It is a miracle based on the kind and severity of stroke that I had that I don't have what's normal in the medical world. You know, as Joe was talking and singing of what God saved us from, it's just a miracle. We give. We're a praying church. We'll never not be because of what God did. But back to this test. They say, we want you to do this little test. It's like putting all these marbles and pegs in the right things. We want you to do it with your right hand. We're going to time it. Then we want you to do it with your left hand. So I did it with my right hand first. And let me just be honest. I didn't try real hard. That's a little puzzle. Okay, I'm going to do the best I can here. This goes here. 21 seconds. All right. Mr. Jones, will you do it with your left hand now? 17 seconds. Hey, I'm good. I'm faster with my non-dominant hand than I am with my good hand, right? So I must be good, right? That's not a real win, right? I tanked the test to make my left hand look better. I admit it. So we want to celebrate real wins, not manufactured wins. And that's important spiritually because I wanted to appear to be better than I was. Has that ever inched its way into a church? Right? When we try to appear better than we are, we're hurting the work of the gospel. People don't need to see the fake version of you. They need to see the raw, real, struggling, I'm going to make it through you. And here's the problem. You can't do both. You can't chase spiritual progress and appear to be better than you are. You got to choose. Do you want spiritual progress or do you want to appear to not have issues and to not struggle? You got to choose between those two. We know who we want to be as a church. And we need this, right? As we're singing that song, I'm going to make it through. And I've been through my storms. You've been through your storms. There are people in the room that are right in the middle of their storm. And you get, every Christian has their first storm. That's the hardest storm. It's your first. You're singing, I'm going to make it through. And you're hoping. You know what they need? They need some people around them that have already been through a storm. And say, no, you're going to make it through. Well, how do you know? Because I've been, maybe not exactly where you are, but I've been through a storm. So some of you are so humble, you think it's bragging to celebrate your wins. You know what? There are people in this room that need to know about your wins because they're not where you are and they're early in their faith. Or maybe they're just in the middle of the storm and there's nothing more powerful in the middle of the storm than experiencing the testimony of somebody who's already come through the storm. And they can sing a little boldly, I'm going to make it through and you're going to make it through because we've seen God over and over. So if we don't celebrate our wins, then we leave people wondering, well, maybe I'm going to make it through. So when we have real wins, when we overcome, like you got to talk about it. You got to testify to it. Sometimes from stage, sometimes in the lobby, sometimes on social media. You just got to celebrate real wins because it helps your progress and it helps other people's progress. So I just want to encourage you today, 9 a.m., this is a real win. You have perfect attendance at church this year. Look at you. You do. Now, somebody's listening online. That's okay. We'll cut that out of the online version. We don't want to make you feel bad. It's not who we are, but it's a real win. Some of your commitment to Relentless Church has changed your family. It's part of the progress that God's making to you. It's not about perfect attendance. It's just about progress. Fourth, how to make progress is in community. We're going to talk a lot about this in the rest of the series, so I won't do much on this this morning. But this thing we're doing is a team sport. You need other people. It's not an individual sport. Your progress is not your problem. Your progress is connected to us. This is an us-we thing. It's not a you thing. So that's how to make progress. I wanted to make a kind of an ugly list. How to not make progress, or I think how it's written on the screen is, the best way or advice to self-sabotage your Jesus progress. So if you want to mess up your own progress, let me give you some tips on how to do that. If you want to not make Jesus progress, here's my best advice to you. Number one, lean into selfishness hard. Make sense? Just lean into, what do you want? How can I make my needs and wants higher than others? How can I just live for me? How can I get mine? How can I put myself ahead? That's so anti-gospel, and it's going to be so anti-progress. So if you want to mess this up, then start there and just lean hard into selfish thoughts and behavior. Secondly, the way to self-sabotage would be to compare and compete. Right? If I start to compare how I'm doing compared to how I think you're doing, and if you're making more progress than me, and this is where social media has hurt us, it's a whole world that's about my progress. Right? It's people putting their best out there, and people feel bad sometimes about, well, you gotta flush all that spiritually if you're gonna make progress. Because I can't believe that I'm saying this. I am 9 weeks away from the end of my kids' high school basketball career, and my coaching them. I'm assisting on my youngest Eli's team, and that'll all be over in 8-9 weeks. I can't believe that that's real. And Eli's a senior, and he's become a good little ball player. He almost quit basketball 8 years ago because of this compare and compete thing. We would do drills in the driveway, and he and Jackson would do the same drills. Jackson's his older brother, 3 years older. And he would get so frustrated, and it was so funny but so sad. You kind of laugh at him because He was 8, 9 years old, and he couldn't do it the way his 11, 12-year-old brother could do it. And he just would storm off and cry and make him come back out there. And I try not to laugh at his face, but he's just so frustrated because 9-year-old Eli couldn't do it the way 12-year-old Jackson could. It's like, no, of course you can't. So I had to pull him aside and say, buddy, you're 3 years younger. You're shorter. He's been doing this for years. Like, that's not going to help you. But all he could see is, I can't do it as good as him. If you try to live your life with Jesus based on how you perceive, you don't know how you perceive somebody else is doing next to you, it's not going to help you progress. It's actually going to cause other problems. Third way to self-sabotage would be to embrace excuses. Now, I might have to preach on this one a little bit. I know it's the first Sunday of the month, but watch out. Move the table. I'm sick of us giving in to excuses, and it's hard. It's a hard path to walk when I preach because I know there's issues that are valid. I'm not invalidating anybody's issues. It's different. There's a difference between saying that's real and using it, embracing it as an excuse of why I'm not going to progress. That's what I'm talking about, right? So don't come with, well, God, this isn't going to change in me because this is how it is where I come from, or this is how I grew up, or this is how my great-granddaddy did it, and my granddaddy did it, and this is how my, now listen, let's talk about what we're talking about. If it's, you know, I smack my food, you know, because great-granddaddy, like, that's different, right? You can smack your food, and you can use that, and maybe your great-grandkids will smack their food. I don't think God cares. If people would disagree, I don't care if you smack your food. I don't think God cares. But if you're talking about how I treat people, how I talk to my kids, how I talk to my wife, well, that's how we grew up, no. You're embracing an excuse. There's family cycles that are broken. Why are they broken? Not because people embrace excuses. Are you telling me that Jesus is intimidated by your family cycle? Like, my goodness, yes, I defeated death and rose from the dead, but I don't know how to deal with that in that family because he's an addict and his dad was an addict, and they'll all be addicts because I don't have any answers for them. Are you serious? Jesus, who rose from the dead, he's not intimidated by what came before you. You don't have to repeat the bad things that are above you in the family tree. But to make progress, you got to quit running to excuses and embracing, right? And there's all kinds of them. Let me use a really hard one that I've dealt with personally of anxiety. I was talking about my recovery, and I'm so much better. But I can't stand up here and tell you there's still not some days occasionally I'll wake up and I feel like I'm walking to a roller coaster as a 10-year-old. And I'm all nervous. My legs feel funny. Why am I so nervous? There's no answer. I'm just anxious. I'm working through it. It's physical. It's mental. It's spirit. It's all the things, right? That's just real. Now, I can take that to the Lord as I spend my time with him, my number one priority. Or I can just say, well, this day's gone. I'm just going to try again tomorrow. And I can give up early. And I can embrace a real thing. It's not fake. It's a real thing. I can use that as an excuse to justify behavior I don't want to give to God. Or I can see progress by giving it to God. And in this room, age is not an excuse. There's a lot of scripture talks about you're not too young. If you're allowed in this room, you're not too young to lead our church and to see progress made. If you're a brand new Christian, that's not an excuse. And neither is the other end, right? I am the definition of a middle-aged man. I am not old, and I am not young. I am right in the middle, right? You are not too old to change. I hate the phrase. It's a lie. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. One, you can. You don't know dogs. Two, you absolutely can teach an old dog new tricks. If you're saying, man, God, I got this habit. I've had this habit for 60 years, probably not changing. Again, Jesus is like, yeah, death, I knocked that out, but your 60-year habit, yeah, you're right. I just can't. There's nothing I can do there. You've been doing it too long. I got no power in that. Of course he does. But if you continue to embrace the excuse, you're going to keep getting what you get. We want to see change that's impossible. We want to see change that's against the odds. We want you to get excited, and we're going to give you a path towards the progress. But we want you to get excited about you becoming the person that today you're just not. Who needs to make the most progress in the room? Some would think, well, the spiritually mature, they kind of got the easy part of this because they don't have as much stuff to clean up. That's a super dangerous idea. leaders of Relentless Church in this, you've got to lead. You know, because you're sensitive to the Spirit, you've got more progress to make than anybody else. If you get to the place of, I don't have that much progress to make, you're the most dangerous category in the room, right? Spiritual maturity is, there's so much more work to do. And I don't have to hide and pretend and put off a vibe that I don't have progress that God's trying to do in me. We're not going to embrace excuses. And then finally, fourth way to mess this up is to allow negative voices. I want you to think about the most negative voice in your life. Don't point. All right? The most negative voice in your life has got to go. Right now, that gets difficult if you live with that voice. All right? So I'm not talking about running away from home or divorcing. What I'm saying is whoever the most negative voice, and I can say that way because I know my church, I know the number one answer, maybe not for all of you, but for most of you, the number one most negative voice in your life is yours. Some of you, you're so kind. I know you. You would never speak to somebody you love the way you speak to yourself. You would never say out loud the words to somebody you love, the words that you say in your head to yourself. The negative conversation is a first step. You're just not able to make your progress because of how you talk to yourself. And maybe it is an outside voice. Maybe it's a person that you need to get some space from because of their negativity. Like, negativity is so contagious. More contagious than coronavirus is negativity in your life. And sometimes it's information. Sometimes the progress he's calling you to make, right? Some of you, he's calling you to make progress financially as far as control and stewardship. And if you're flooding your feed with all these expenditures on expensive luxury items, you're really not helping yourself. You're kind of working against yourself. If you've got an issue that God's trying to deal with, watching the shows that glorifies that issue is really not helping you make progress. So you got to identify what that is. But we just come back to some of the same things. A year ago at the first Sunday, we talked about, let's make God the hero of our story. Some things you stick with it. We learned a lot in 24. Main at the top of the list is listen to God and do what he says. So we're just going to keep coming with that. So we have an argument at my house, and I don't really want to know where you stand on this because it'll hurt my feelings if you're with them. But as far as sometimes repetition is good. Sometimes things are just true. And in my house, sometimes things are just funny. And there are those that live with me that believe that they're funny at the beginning, and then if you run them into the ground, they get less funny. I could not disagree more. If something's funny, it continues to be funny. In fact, if you're strong enough, if you'll ride through the valley, it eventually gets even more funny 5-10 years down the road. So here's an example. It's just a little joke. It's not ha-ha funny. It's just a little tiny joke. When I take an ibuprofen or I'm sick and I take a medicine, if you want to copy this, it needs to be within 60 seconds to a minute after I take the pill, I'll say, Kelly, I don't think it's working, right? I know that pills don't work that fast. That's the funny of it, right? Now, I've been doing that for almost 30 years with her, and I think it's funnier today than it was because you just stay with it. If things are true back then, they're true today. So we're just going to keep coming with the gospel. We're going to keep coming with untold, unconvinced, relationship, not religion, all the things, and listen to God and doing what he says. And we're going to make progress. Let me go back to our verse. Convinced of this, Philippians 4. I know that I'll remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Comma. Why? 26. So that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Now, Paul's not bragging. He's like, you're not boasting in me. You're boasting in Christ. So here's what we know from that. We know the progress he's talking about is not self-help progress. We know, because the result of the progress he wants to make is people bragging about Jesus. It's the work he's doing inside of us. It's him forming himself in us. So the result of 2025 should be, wow, look at what Jesus did in me. It can't be, look at how motivated I am, or look how I got it together, or look what I did. That's not the progress that we're talking about in here. It's not try harder. It's maturing. It's spiritual maturity. It's understanding we all need progress, and it's going about it in a way where Jesus gets the credit, not because we're making him look good, because he actually did the work. It's we're talking about the real living Jesus actually changing who you are. allowing him to transform and change who you are. You've got to give him permission to do it. He's really good at it. He's really good at it. But we know the progress we're talking about from this verse is a progress that results in us boasting and like, man, I didn't think I could ever respond to that kind of person in that way. I didn't think I could ever become a person who had that discipline or had that habit. But Jesus helped me. He strengthened me. He showed me. He was patient with me, and he gave me progress. That's our word, progress. So what kind of person do you want to be? That's the first question. And then we can match that up with what Tiffany so beautifully said is a better question is, who did God create you to be? Because if that's a different answer, we've got to work through that. Do you want to be who God created you to be? He knows you best. He wired you. He knows what your best life looks like. So it's dependence on him. And then the second question is, what steps are you taking? It's great to know what kind of person you want to become, but if you don't have any steps, if you don't have steps, we're going to help you have steps in this series. But some of that you've got to figure out with God of what he's calling you specifically to. I don't know what the year ahead holds. Some years are bigger than others as far as what God wants to do. 2012 was a huge year for me and our family. I watched it'll be 13 years next month, my dad's death, and just the boldness and strength that he walked through death, that we watched him walk through that process, just was life-changing for me in a lot of ways. One of the ways is after his death, started to have the conversation with God. At that point, it had been years that he'd put this seed in my soul to plant a multi-ethnic church. I didn't know it was going to be in Raleigh, but it was just walking through that, and I started to get really uncomfortable with, am I going to be one of those guys who was always thinking, and maybe, but there's a reason, and you know what, everything's not all there. And really, God used my dad's death to make some moves in 2012 that led to 2013, where me and my family moved here and then started Relentless Church in 2014. But 2012 was pivotal in that, because God used my dad's death to remind me, like, forever focused is real. Life really is short. You guys, some of you know what it's like when somebody who's always been there every day of your life and you can't talk to him. I wouldn't say he's gone, because he's not gone. He's gone from earth, but he ain't gone. But he was gone from where I could talk and see him. And that just changed me. I can't live a life of leaving anything out there, like what ifs. Like, it's just stupid to live life so scared and careful, which is where I was. So that was a big year for me, 2012. But the truth is, God was doing some things in my heart on the inside in 2009, 2010, 2011 that led to the outward moves of actually making some moves in 2012. So I have no way of knowing what this year is for you. Maybe it's a year of doing some stuff on the inside, because he's got some crazy stuff for you in 2027 and you're not ready yet, because he's got to do the work on the inside. I have no way of knowing. Maybe he's been doing that work and this is a year for you to make outward moves. Inward, outward, I don't know. Our goal and our prayer this year is just going to be progress. So we're going to pray. Maybe there's a step you need to take today, a simple step of being prayed for. Maybe you need to hear today that if you're new to this whole faith in Jesus thing, the first step of commitment to Jesus is baptism. When you decide you don't want to believe in God, but you want to follow and trust him and lean not on your understanding with your life, that's followed by baptism. We had three people make that decision our last Sunday in December, so we're going to baptize them on January 26th, and maybe you're going to be with them. Right? Maybe. We'll let God do that work. That's our first step, but there's a lot of other steps. I don't get to know what your progress steps look like. We're going to leave that up to you and God. If you need to be prayed for, you can come up after I pray. If you just need to sit and spend some time with God, if you want to take communion, whatever, but again, you're invited to the lobby to say hi to some people if you want to do that. But we're going to be spending a month setting the course for our church for 2025, all based around this word, progress. Would you pray with me? Father, you're so able. God, I thank you for the testimonies in this room, row by row. There's so many people in this room that are just nothing like who they once were. You've done miraculous, beautiful things in lives. It's possible. God, for the person in this room who just thinks they're probably going to always struggle with the things they struggle with today, God, I pray you'd give them such a beautiful hope and the power that there's nothing you're intimidated by in their life. There's nothing you can't get to. There's nothing that you can't redeem. God, for those in our church or among us that aren't here today, but that we love them, and they don't know you, they've never made a commitment to you, I pray you'd give them faith and strength and help them ask the questions they need to ask, that we could celebrate baptisms 3 weeks from today. God, for today, I just pray that we would sit in these questions of who you created us to be and what steps do we need to take to get there, that we would trust you with that. I just pray that you would have the room right now, that you would move in Jesus' name. Amen.